bond markets embrace growth over austerity.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Thursday, the 25th of April, and borrowing costs are falling today in Europe after Italy nominated a new prime minister. Enrico Letta comes from the center-left Democratic Party, and he's trying to form a new government. He is also coming out against harsh austerity measures. Diane Swank is chief economist with Mesirow Financial, and she's with us from Chicago to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Diane, the new Italian prime minister comes in and says, I like growth, I don't want austerity, and the bond markets love it. Borrowing costs go down. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the pendulum had swung so far on the other side of austerity that we were seeing economies contract along with revenues. And so people have begun to realize in Europe that the only hope was to sort of stretch out the austerity programs, not make them quite as severe, and that eventually that would generate some growth along with revenues, and that's the hope. Of course, the hope may be a little bit premature because these economies still are in deep trouble and they still need major structural reforms. So the bond market is getting a little bit ahead of itself in terms of its enthusiasm. Although the direction is the right direction probably for Europe.
Although I imagine that the leaders of places like France and Spain and Greece are watching this and saying, you know, maybe we don't need to cut our budgets as much as we thought we did.
Absolutely. And that is certainly the theme you saw come up in recent weeks in terms of the G20 meetings. Much backlash to austerity being too severe, being dictated out of Germany. That's not exactly the most happy thing from Germany. And Germany is suffering as well. I mean, the whole European continent has been affected by this crisis. And with very stagnant growth and deep depressions in some of the periphery regions, people are rethinking how they deal with the situation they're in at this stage of the game. And too much austerity, too much of anything is a bad thing, although over the longer haul, we clearly need to get the budgets in order.
Diane Swank, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Officials say more than 230 people have died in Bangladesh after the collapse yesterday of a building that housed a number of clothing factories. Those factories were reportedly making products for major brands that are sold all around the world. And the incident comes just 6 months after a fire killed more than 100 people at another factory in Bangladesh that was also making products for Western companies. So who bears responsibility for incidents like this? Marketplace's Noel King went looking for answers.
The short answer is, when a tragedy like this happens, there's plenty of blame to go around. Laura Gutierrez is a Fulbright Fellow in Dhaka researching the garment industry. She was standing outside of the collapsed factory when I spoke to her.
Assuming that American and European or other Western brands were present here in the factory, it is their responsibility to pay compensation.
But she says paying compensation is often voluntary because the Bangladeshi government and the factory owners can also be implicated. American consumers do take note of these tragedies. Bert Flickinger is managing director of the Strategic Resource Group.
Consumers have a conscience and they support the stores much less where there have been tragic factory disasters and deaths and massive amounts of injuries.
One company to watch is Walmart. A fire at a factory that made Walmart products killed 112 people in Bangladesh last year. Walmart says it was unaware the factory made its products. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Well, here in this country, today is Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day, the day many parents bring their young kids to the office to show them what the working world is like. As Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports, the day used to focus just on daughters, but not anymore.
Take Our Daughters to Work Day was founded in 1993 by Gloria Steinem and the Ms. Foundation for Women. Marie Wilson was president of the Ms. Foundation at the time.
The effects were explosive. First of all, the visibility of girls in the workplace showed up the invisibility of adult women.
Still, many critics say girls no longer need to be singled out. After all, women now make up half the American workforce. Susan Heathfield is a human resources expert.
Becoming a little archaic, my personal preference would be to take your child to work day.
In fact, the day's official title was changed in 2003. It's now Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Still, Ms. Foundation's Marie Wilson says a day that focuses on women's role in the workplace is still relevant.
Women are still far behind in leadership in every area.
American women hold fewer than 20% of those jobs and are paid just 77 cents for every dollar a man makes. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, Virgin America wants to spread a little more love at 35,000 feet, so they are allowing customers to use the TVs in front of their seats to flirt. You can buy a drink for someone on the plane and send them a message. The service was launched on LA to Vegas flights, so I guess you can also tie the knot as soon as you land. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.